okay?
Time will tell, I say.
I think so.
I don't know. But I have to believe they will be.
It's going to be hard.
They'll have questions. I can't imagine what Lancel Graham told them about their father. I think that, more than any other trauma, is what keeps my son mute.
Prester nods and sighs. He doesn't look like he wants to go down into that basement, but I imagine he's seen worse.
Kezia says you have Graham's phone. I'll need that for evidence, and anything else you took.
I left most of that stuff in his truck, I say.
The gun's mine. I've retrieved it from the floor of the basement. I don't need more complications.
Here. I dig the phone out of my pocket.
The screen is on. I push the button accidentally.
It's just the lock screen, and without Graham's thumbprint or code, I can't unlock it. But what freezes me is the text message that's appeared on the screen.
It's from Absalom, and it says, "He wants an update."
I show it to Prester. He doesn't seem surprised.
"Who's Absalom?"
I tell him about my hacker benefactor, my ally who's been selling me out the entire time. I don't know how to find Absalom, and I tell him that, too. I hold out the phone and say,
"My turn.
Who do you think Absalom is talking about?"
Prester takes an evidence bag from his pocket, and I slip it in.
He seals it before he answers,
"I think you can guess."
I don't want to say his name either. It's almost like saying the name of the devil. I'm afraid he will appear.
Prester's expression has turned darker now, and I don't like the way he keeps watching me, tentative and thoughtful, like he's trying to decide if I'm strong enough to stand what he's got in mind.
So I say, "You have something to tell me."
I'm not afraid of anything anymore.
My children are with me, safe. Lancel Graham isn't going anywhere. It's possible his sons can be saved, unless his particular psychopathy is inherited.
Prester gestures me off to the side. I don't want to let go of Lanny and Connor, but I do take a few steps away and position myself to watch them. I know this is something he doesn't want them to hear. But I'm still not afraid.
There was a well-coordinated breakout from El Dorado. 17 prisoners. 9 of them are already in custody. But
he doesn't even have to say it. I know with the sick inevitability of fate what he's going to tell me.
"But Melvin Royal is loose," I say.
He looks away. I don't know what I'm feeling or what he's seeing in me. But I do know one thing. I'm not afraid of Mel anymore. I'm going to kill him. One way or the other, it ends the way it began so long ago. With the two of us. The Royals.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Stillhouse Lake by Rachel Kane, performed by Emily Sutton Smith. Performance copyright 2017 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brilliancedaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.